This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
All-Stars episode 18 was recorded on June 17th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. JDI Research founder Juliet DeClercq is back with us today. Juliet, you've been calling for interest rate cuts since early 2019. Is it finally coming? We've got an FOMC meeting on Wednesday. Is this going to be the one?
Hi, Eric. So I think what will be really interesting for sure this week is the Powell press conference, which is likely to be absolutely dissected. And what will provide market clues, as always, is the Fed's reaction function. So I think our job will be to decide where the Fed is on a scale of intransigently hawkish, like it was in 2018, to flexible and dovish, for example, what we saw in 1995 in the so-called mid-cycle insurance cuts. And from there, we will derive the probability that the next cut actually refreshes, quote-unquote, or marks the beginnings of a return to zero yields and price assets accordingly. What I'd like to do today is give you a framework of how I'm going to think about it. So I think that clues will be found in answers to questions regarding Fed's drivers. Firstly, will the Fed finally react to slower inflation and slower growth? And that's what I will call the Fed's data dependence and what will determine whether the Fed is becoming more reactive. Slower inflation is definitely a direct function of the Fed's restrictive stance in 2018, and I've got charts proving that. And it shouldn't, in my sense, be ignored because it's the symptom of the Fed funds overreaching, what I estimate is about 50 basis points. On the growth path, I think basically slower growth is the hallmark of late cycle conditions when macro aggregates remain robust, but their first derivatives plunge towards recessionary levels, basically as a byproduct of full employment. Historically, those were inflationary conditions which caused the Fed to become increasingly restrictive and cause a recession. But this time, because there's no inflation, the Fed basically has the luxury of being able to preempt the end of the cycle by easing monetary policy in the wake of decreasing equilibrium rate. But the question is, can and will the Fed be fast enough to stay ahead of a weakening outlook? And I think that will depend on their estimate of what the market is pricing. So that takes me to the Fed's market dependence as opposed to the Fed's data dependence, which I just spoke about. Market dependence is what allows the Fed to potentially preempt and be preemptive rather than reactive. My view is that the Fed will bow down to markets, but the apparent discrepancy between equity and fixed income pricing is a source of confusion and policy mistake. And even if the Fed's market dependence is more and more evident, the crucial question is the Fed considering the right market signals to be preemptive rather than just pretend to be? There's been a lot of head scratching about the discrepancy between what equity markets and fixed income markets discount in terms of the growth outlook. And this is something I've spoken on Macro Voice about. And I've argued that there is, in fact, no conundrum. When you dig down into equity subsectors, you'll find really easily that the equity rally has been led by bond-like defensive sectors with cyclicals really lagging. And the specificity of this business cycle is that central banks are becoming increasingly comfortable with what we previously called extraordinary monetary policy measures like NIRP and QE. And it results that any macro weakness leads global central banks to quote-unquote forward guide to towards further financial repressions, which automatically re-rates financial assets and cuts the feedback loop from weakening macro conditions to assets to recessions. And that basically explains why we continue to see equity all-time highs on lower and lower breadths. And that's in fact fully consistent with an exhausted growth outlook. So for me, the crux of the matter here is that markets are sending contradicting signals to the Fed, which I have illustrated this year by arguing that Wall Street's R-star is much higher than Main Street R-star. So the question I really want to answer this week is, will Powell focus more on stable financial conditions or on curve inversion? And I'll just give you some element of response here. My view is there is little doubt that the Fed has to and will consider the shape of the front end of the curve. And when I mean the front end of the curve here, I mean 1s 5s, which I think is particularly significant. Because the longer it stays inverted and the lower the probability that the Fed can ever get ahead of deflationary pressures and avert a recession. The important thing to remember here is that front end curve inversion is not only self-fulfilling, because it lessens credit availability, but it also is a symptom of an unduly restrictive monetary stance already. I think the Fed knows that ignoring front-end curve inversion is at its own peril, and this is why I believe that it will, at the minimum, attempt to bow down to markets and pave the way to an imminent cut. To conclude, on Wednesday, I think the Fed is likely to explicitly adopt an easing bias by highlighting that they are monitoring downside risks to the outlook and will act appropriately to sustain the expansion. In other words, I think alarm bells are already sounding and that Powell will hint that his finger is on the trigger. But we have already like 3 to 4 cuts priced in the next 18 months, pretty much. So the real question is this the beginning of a full cycle? And after arguing for cuts since the beginning of 2019, that's really the question that I want to answer. And that's actually what I will do in this week's JDI report, as well as review the impact on asset prices.
Juliet, after following your work for the last several years, I've gotten pretty used to your style and your thinking, and it seems to me that one word is missing from this whole conversation, and that's China, because a lot of what you've written about in the past has had to do with China and the interaction of Chinese policy and the Fed. So, Juliet, how does the China side of this double-sided coin, which has been leading the global macro outlook for years, come into play?
You're absolutely right. And in fact, I believe one of my first apparitions on Macro Voices was to present a report entitled Red String of Fate Ties the US to China from 2017, which I'm sure is still on your website. This really has not changed. And we need the Fed stars to align with the China stimulus to at least stabilize the global outlook. And that's actually what's been allowing me to argue that there would be no stabilization this year so far. What's crucial here is the upcoming G20 meeting, which I think many are expecting to be a turning point for markets. The interesting thing here is that the ones PBOC fixings have been quite far from levels predicted by models, with a deviation of as wide as 0.5% today. At the same time, Chinese data have continued to disappoint, and really the central bank is injecting liquidity at the fastest pace since May. In my opinion, this is a blood-curdling reminder that China has one last card to play, and that's what I would call its own weapon of mass global inflation destruction. It could basically devalue the yuan and propel the dollar up in a move that would envelop the world in a chilling deflationary blanket and would be sure to cause a global recession. Ahead of the G20, it appears that China has been keeping the yuan in check. Basically, under the dollar yuan has been under the 7 level that authorities have defended in the past and beyond which the US may start arguing about FX manipulation. And that's suggesting to me and to many is suggesting that China still has an interest in negotiating. But looking at on the Trump side, he's really been rightly increasingly more vocal on the strengths of the dollar. And that's one of my arguments, is that dollar strength is the main obstacle to reflation. So I'm pretty sure that a breakdown in talks would hurt the Chinese economy quite badly. But a break higher in the dollar would be lethal for the US and the world economy as a whole. Therefore, whilst I see no incentive on either side to conclude talks, I also think that Trump will be wary of making a move that would end negotiations for fear that China uses its nuclear option, a yuan devaluation. We've already had last week the PBOC Governor Yi suggesting that he's got tremendous room to adjust monetary policy in case the trade conflict deepens. And he's also signaled that he's not wedded to defending the nation's currency and not wedded to any particular level. He also stressed that the value of the yuan should be set by market forces, which, given the Chinese economy is weak and weakening, would suggest potentially a much weaker yuan. So I think that's really the one thing that I'm considering at the moment. And my inclination is still to keep long duration and steepness in the US together with long gold. But I'm also increasing risk via carefully selected short dollar in expectations of a Fed that is much more inclined to not fight the markets any longer, and China stimulus potentially picking up as we don't see a full breakdown in negotiations with the US.
Juliet, we look forward to getting you back in a couple of weeks for another update. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly Research Roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.